our time to sit down. You must not come here every week if you sit down already. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet, dude. Stand to your feet. It's all right. It's all right. You'll be all right. We'll be out of church in a little bit. You can get rest when you leave here. You can rest when you get home. Amen. I need you all to grab your Bibles if you could. Just grab a hold of your Bibles if you got a Bible here today. If not, just grab a hold of something, maybe even socially, that you use to follow along in the Word. I believe the Word has a, I believe the Lord's given me a critical word today. It's a critical word. Not critical in a negative way, but a word that will speak to you exactly where you are. Matter of fact, maybe even before I begin to get into it, let me just ask an audible question. How many of you all will admit you got some problems? Don't be bashful. Some of you will admit you just got a few problems. You got some problems. Jonah 1, verse 1.
Hallelujah.
The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. He said, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. I can tell you one thing right now. The problems that you got in your life are not your denomination. They're not your, whether you're Baptist or Kojic or Catholic, Presbyterian, AG, Evangelical, Protestant, Jehovah Witness. I can tell you one thing right now, although your problem would be at that last one. I'm just going to keep it real here today. That's not your problem. That's not your problem. It's your problem is not the denomination. Your problem's not your mother or the lack thereof. Your problem's not your father. And there are many of you standing here today that have not been raised by a father. It's not your problem. The problem is not your sister or your brother. You got siblings? That's not your problem. The problem's not your family. I'm not going to get a whole lot of amens on that one. I know that's right. I just heard somebody say, please, Pastor, you don't know my family. That's not your problem. No. The problem is not the problem is not your church. Some of you that go here, you either come to this church or you go to another church. That's not your problem. It's not. That's the problem is not your job. That's not your problem. I know you want another one, or you want a raise, or you want folk to act right, but that's not your problem. You see, I've come to find out in life. As I look in the mirror and I only see me. I've come to figure out in life, watch this, I'm the problem. Before you're seated in this church, I need you to go to five people, look them dead in the eye, tell them I'm the problem. I'm the problem. Why some of y'all not moving? You the problem, whether you move or not, you're still the problem. Whether you move or not. You the problem. You be seated in the Lord's house. Ooh, Holy Spirit, speak to us right now. I'm the problem. I'm the problem. It's the stinking thinking that happens in life sometimes. Yeah, it's the way I process stuff sometimes. Sometimes I hold people accountable for stuff I haven't dealt with in my own life. Sometimes I'm a little too hard on people. Sometimes I judge people before I actually get to know them. Uh, sometimes I hold a church accountable for what I didn't get at home. Ooh. Sometimes I blame my wife for something that I should have received before I met her. Sometimes I'm looking for people to complete me when nobody can complete you but Jesus. I've come to find out that I'm the problem. So when we go back and we revisit Jonah, we hear Jonah, the Bible says, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai, get up and go. Somebody say, get up and go. To the great city of Nineveh. You need to know about Nineveh. Something had happened. The Lord called Nineveh a great city, but something had happened. It had gotten into a paganistic society. They were dealing with polytheism, multiple gods. And so the Lord told Jonah, he said, I need you to go to this city because although at one time they were serving me, but now they done got caught up in a bunch of stuff. Say stuff. I need you to go tell them that I'm about to bring my judgment against it. In verse 3, Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. Now, before you start talking about Jonah, look in the mirror. Before you start telling about how terrible Jonah is, don't you dare act like God hasn't told you something before. And you went in the opposite direction. Do I got 7 or 8 people that admit that they have done that before? God said, go right, you went left. God said, go forward, you went back. God said, don't marry her, you married. God said, don't date him, you dated him. God said, don't date her, you dated her. Is this all right this morning, church family? Is all right? He went in the opposite direction to get away from he went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break up the ship. The Bible says, a fear for the sailors, they began to throw stuff off the ship. They're trying to unload the ship because this violent storm is coming. And this storm was so violent, church family, that we got to the point where the captain of the ship took notice of the violence of this storm. Matter of fact, he begins to tell them, he says, listen, begin to pray to your gods with regard to what is happening to the ship. And then all of a sudden, it's like the captain of the ship, the man in charge, he goes down in the hold. And there in the hold is Jonah asleep. So the captain wakes up. Why does he wake? Well, because everybody else is in a panic. Everybody else is in a panic, literally praying to their God. Small g, take note of that. Small g. They're praying to their gods. So he wakes up Jonah and he says, how can you sleep at a time like this? Boy, I don't know about you, but this kind of reminds me of Jesus a bit in Matthew 8. I begin to think about, you all know when the storm came and when the storm hit and the disciples woke up Jesus. And they basically say, how could you sleep? I need to let you know right off top, having Jesus in your life invites the storm. Oh, wait a minute. Because you're thinking, no, if I got Jesus, ain't no storms. Oh, no. Having Jesus invites the storms. Watch this. But it gives you the authority to rebuke the storm. Wait a minute. Storms only come so that you can show the authority and power on the inside of you. Sometimes God will bring a storm just so you will remember what you got. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. I know that's not always good news, but oftentimes you got to show what you're working with. So this storm threatens to break up the ship, and the captain goes down. He says, get up and pray to your God. Then at this time. Verse 7, they cast lots. They rolled dice. That was Old Testament. They actually rolled dice. It was actually sticks. Sticks. If you equate it to today, it would be like rolling. Now all of that was discontinued in Acts. All that was discontinued. They were praying for direction from God. Why did they cast lots? Because they're trying to figure out who brought this storm. Ooh, you ever been at a place in life and all of a sudden stuff start getting all jacked up and stormy, and all of a sudden you start looking at like, Lord Jesus, am I in sin? Is something going on in my life? Who brought this storm? Why did all this begin to happen? It's like being in a room and all of a sudden everybody knows somebody like this. Everybody know about a room that can have peace in it. And then all of a sudden somebody come in. Oh, am I talking to anybody right now? Y'all know exactly what, there's certain people, don't say who they are, but they'll comment on a Facebook post and all of a sudden you don't want to say nothing else. You're just done. You're done. Everybody got somebody that comes in their life, unfortunately, that disturbs your peace. Jesus. So the captain's trying to figure out, they cast lots and they figure out it's Jonah. Jonah is the one that they are directed to who has caused the storm. And so they go to Jonah and they telling Jonah, they saying, look, I'm going to just bring this into 27. They say, Jonah, you know, you done brought this storm on everybody. And Jonah, in a very apologetic manner, because Jonah already knows he shouldn't have been on that ship. Come on, somebody. He already realizes that. He understands he should have never been on the ship. And so Jonah literally says, you know, listen, guys, I'm sorry that I done brought this storm. That I'm sorry that I'm a bit of the problem. It's really my fault that this storm is actually getting more fierce by the minute. And so Jonah says, throw me in. Throw me in the water. Throw you in the water. Throw me in. Because I know I'm the one that caused this storm. And the captain and the others, they said, no, they began to row harder. But the harder they rowed, the more fierce. I'm trying to tell you, church, the more you try to get away from God, the more fierce the storm. Am I talking to anybody in here this right now? The further, I don't know, but I can tell on myself. I've made mistakes in my life and tried to run opposite of where God wanted me to go. And it was as though things got worse. Somebody in this place right now is running from God. Don't tell me who you serve, or don't tell me about your background and how you were raised and whatever denomination you say you might be a part of or from. A denomination cannot save you. Cannot save you. I don't care how you were raised or grew up. Your grandmother can't save you. Oh, my grandmother was this, that. She can't save you. Every name shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jonah says, throw me in. Throw me in. I know I'm the problem. Throw me in the water. The guy says, no, just row harder and harder. And the storm begins to get fiercer. Bill, come on up here. Mike, come on. Come on, Glenn. Just come real quick. Come real quick. I want to show you something here in the physical. So the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. They say, why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded, as in, this is something we've never experienced before. Then they say four questions. I got to give this to you. They ask Jonah. They say, who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? And what is your nationality? Who are you? What's your line of work? What do you do? What country are you from? And what is your nationality? Let me give you this quote. Your level of favor, watch this, will determine the veracity of your storm. Your level of favor, those of you, how many of you out there would say, I got favor on my life? The greater the favor, the greater the storm. Ooh, Lord Jesus. The greater the favor, your level of favor will determine the veracity. How tough, how difficult is that storm? The more tough, the more difficult the storm, it determines the level of favor in your life. So it's not that the Lord is trying to kill you or that you've done something so negative. Absolutely not. All it says is that you've got multiplicity of favor on your life. Whew. Jonah answered and said, I'm a Hebrew. And I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. The Bible says the sailors were terrified when they heard it. He had already told them he was running away from the Lord. They said, oh, why did you do it? And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked Jonah, what should we do to stop this storm? I just told you this a couple of minutes ago. He said, throw me into the sea. Somebody yell out, I'm the problem. Throw me into the sea and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. Ooh, if you're not ashamed in that place right now, just raise your hand if you know you've been to a few situations where it was all your fault. Ooh, Lord. I know I should have held my mouth, boss, when I cussed you out. I didn't mean to. I didn't. Something got in me. It just, in this flesh lies, y'all know you start quoting Bible verses. In this flesh lies no good thing. All have sinned and fallen short of the. All of a sudden you start quoting Bible verses when you mess up. Somebody say motive. Watch your motive when you mess up. Watch your motive. Watch your motive. I know God is a forgiving God, but we don't set God up by saying, listen, I'm gonna just do this real bad real quick, and then I'm going to come back and repent. Throw me into the sea, and it will become a call. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. Instead, as I told, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to the land. But the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. Oh, Lord, they replied, watch this. Don't make us die for this man's sins. And don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh, they cried out to Jonah's God because he said, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the living God, the one who made the land and the sea. And so the sailors said, oh, Lord, don't hold us responsible for his death. Do y'all understand what these sailors are saying? They're telling everybody right now, Jonah, you ain't got to go home. I'm trying to. Somebody help me right now. And so they said, here's Jonah. Billy is Jonah. Grab him. Just grab him. Pick him up. Pick him up by the legs. And so they said, listen, here it is. They said he got to go. He got. They hold him up. Hold him up. Hold him up. Don't you watch this. And don't hold us. I gotta give you the word. I want to give you exactly what the word. You have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. Whew. Don't make us die for this man's sins. Don't hold us responsible for his death. You have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. Keep going. Then the sailors picked up Jonah and threw him into the raging sea. Leon, come here. And the storm, watch this. So they pick, now don't throw him. Don't throw him. Use your imagination. They take Jonah, they throw him into the sea. They throw him. Put him down. Y'all gonna throw him. Be funny. They throw Jonah into the sea. Hear me, church. Hear me. Because the Bible says, but the Lord had arranged. the Lord had already prearranged a fish to catch him. I'm trying to talk to 10 or 15 of you all who somebody thought they threw you away. Who somebody thought you're no good. You ain't gonna never be nothing. Your daddy wasn't nothing. Your mama wasn't nothing. And they tried to throw you away. But what they forgot was the Lord had arranged. Oh, Jesus. You thought you threw me away. You thought I was never gonna be nothing. You thought I would not get over that issue in my life. So when you thought you threw me away, God had already arranged. He'd already arranged somebody to catch me. Can somebody say thank you, Jesus, right now? I'm trying to talk to about five or six of you all that have ever been in a place in life where somebody threw you away. Or somebody forgot about you. I know I'm the problem, but I know who the solution is. His name is J-E-S. Yeah. He arranged for a fish to catch him. All the fish in the sea. But remember, ooh, this is so good. Jonah had already told the men, I serve the living God. The God who controls the land. When Jonah spoke that, even though Jonah was supposedly about to meet his death, even when you're in the most difficult seasons of your life, you speak who controls the earth. You speak who controls the planets. You speak who holds it all in his hand. So he's thrown into the sea. Just go down there. Y'all good. Where'd my mirror go? My mirror go? Where's my mirror? Is it in the back? Get that for me quick. Leon, stay right there. Stay right there. Because I want to show you something. Because there's something that happened. This is the Holy Spirit. Stay up, Bill. Stay up. There's something that happens in that fish. Jonah's in the belly of the fish. For how long? And three nights. The only thing that Jonah's got to think about is the decisions. I'm gonna tell you right now, some of the most difficult stuff that we deal with in life is when we face ourselves. Is when God has you in a place of solitude. Ooh, when God has you in a place where the only person in that place is you. I'm trying to tell you, God will remove people in your life for a reason. God will dismiss people in your life it was God who got rid of that raggedy man. That was God. You would have been dead, girl. Oh, Pastor, but I love him. But he was going to kill you emotionally, mentally, spiritually. God had to do that. But Pastor, that was the job that I was making X amount of money, and it was just real good. But God is doing something different. But I don't like the way he did it. But he understands when you become too dependent on creature comforts. So God will put you in a place where all you have to do is face you. So Jonah is in the belly of the fish for 3 days and for three nights. I need to tell you right now that it's not as bad as it looks. Okay. I need somebody to receive that. It's not as bad as it looks. You might be in the belly of the fish, but at least it's safe in there. Somebody help me in this place right now. It might not smell too good, but at least it's safe in there. Sometimes I'd rather be in the belly of the fish than to be outside being attacked. See, this is the time where you're in a place of surrender and solitude. Jonah didn't have a pastor to run to. Jonah didn't have anybody to get on a prayer call with him. All Jonah had was him and the fish. How important is this message, church, even with regard to, it was so important that Jesus spoke of it in Matthew 12. He said, for as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and for three nights. Jonah went down to the seashore. He went down to the bottom of the ship. He went down into the water and down into the belly of the fish. I'm trying to tell you right now, if you're running from the Lord, there's only one way, and that's down. And you know, in this wonderful church this morning, if you're in a position and place in life where you are running from the Lord, you can remove that mirror. I mean, he's pretty enough and looking at himself enough. And Jonah 2. Y'all getting something good this morning? Y'all getting something good this morning? Amen. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise this morning. Come on. Not yet. Jonah 2. Then Jonah prayed. How many of you don't know prayer changes everything? He prayed to the Lord his God, where, Pastor? From inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of Sheol. That's the land of the dead. That's hell. And Lord, you heard me. I need somebody to understand right now that no matter where you are in your life, spiritually, God can hear you. Because the Psalms tell us in Psalm 139:8, if I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell. I think somebody missed it. If I make my bed in hell, the psalmist David said, you're there. Well, why is he there? Because he guards the gate. He said, hell, because he guards the gate. He guards activity that cannot hinder his saints. So if I ascend up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. Proverbs 15:11 says, hell and destruction are before the Lord. So how much more the hearts of the sons of men? Jonah 2 continues, and as my life was slipping away, I remember the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows. For my salvation comes from the Lord alone. That's a prayer that you pray when you're in the belly of the fish. And upon this prayer, verse 10 tells me, then the Lord ordered the fish to spit out Jonah onto the beach. Upon the prayer of Jonah, who identified that even though he was in a tough place in life, you are still God on high. You are still worthy. You are still merciful. You are still lovely. You are still kind. And so the Lord orders the fish. Wait a minute. Somebody need to get this right now, because some of y'all are in the fish. And I'm telling you right now that the Lord is saying it's your time. That the Lord will order the fish to spit you out. And so if Bill is Jonah, come here, Leon, come quickly. If Bill is Jonah and the Lord orders the fish to spit him out, So basically, the Lord is saying, Leon, return him to his right. Push him up here. Push him. Spit him out. Spit him out. Return him back to his rightful place. I'm trying to tell you, church family, that even when you come back, you look better than what you did going in. Okay, maybe this side needs to hear it. I said, when you come out, you're going to look better than what you did going in. Why are you sitting there looking at me like you got that good looking on your own? If it had not been for the Lord who was on, some of y'all, I know your testimony, and you know if somebody yell, he kept me. When you could not and would not keep yourself, God kept you. See, if they only knew what you've been through just to get in this place today. You need to tell the person next to you, if you only knew what I've been through just to get me here today. Give God some praise right quick. Wait a minute. If you only knew, if you only knew, if you only knew, if you only knew, people don't take enough time to hear your story. They just see your glory, but they don't know your story. They don't know exactly what you had to go through to get what you got. Oftentimes, I don't care about you. I don't care what you all think. I'd rather have peace that surpasses all understanding. A car will get old. A house will be a house. But ain't nothing like the health and the peace of God over your life. People are fake, phony, and indifferent. But my God, who supplies all my needs, he will be there through thick and through thin. If you leave me, I got Jesus. If you leave me, I got Jesus. If I gotta go back to the fish, that's where I go. If I got to go back to the fish, sometimes you got to go back to the fish. Sometimes you got to say, Lord, I need a fish experience. Why? Because the fish cuts off the noise. Some of you got too much noise in your life. And you get into the fish and it shuts off everything around you. The Lord says from his perch on high, spit him out. It's time. Yell, it's my time. I've had a fish experience. I'm sure many of you had as well. My fish experience went through 5, 6, and 7. 2005, 6, and 7 seemed to be my fish experience. Those 3 years, three of the most difficult years of my life. And it was as though during that dark time and dark season that I was getting attacked mentally like I've never been attacked before. The devil saying dumb stuff. Kill yourself. Harm yourself. You got life insurance, this, that, and the other. Your wife would be fine. Yeah, you know, life's this, that, and the other. Just go on ahead and do it. Blah, 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 blah. Just a whole bunch of mess. Just, I don't know. The devil will play with your mind, church family. Man. And please, you know, please don't. Yeah. Was I praying? I believe I was. Was I seeking God? I believe I was. But how many of you know, even when you feel like you're doing all the right things, you still get attacked in your mind. You still get attacked in your emotions. And I was going through this in 5, 6, and 7. And then I got a phone call. Say a phone call. I got a phone call from my pastor in June 1st of 2008. And that was about the assignment here at Liberty. But I look at it today, and it was as though that phone call was the Lord saying, spit him out. He's gone through the time, 5, 6, and 7. Spit him out. And the Lord spit me out right down there at 114 East Liberty. And to God be the glory. I can stand here to you today, and I can tell you he's a God who can make a way out of no way. He's a God who can return you and show favor on your life. He's a God he's not a God of a second chance. He's the God of another chance. I got to give. Are y'all okay out there? I got to give you this because it reminds me of Acts 2 of verse 20. People of Israel, listen, God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders and signs through him, as you well know. Paul's given this. He said, but God knew what would happen. Watch this. And his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. Your destiny does not get into motion until you've been betrayed. The moment that you have been betrayed accelerates your prearranged plan. You need to call the last person to betray you. When you leave here, text them and just say, thank you. I appreciate you doing what you did, because you set my prearranged plan in. That's why the Bible says, do good to those who persecute you. Pray for those who speak evil of you. They don't understand. They are just accelerating blessings on your life. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross. That's my Jesus. And killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life. Why? Because death could not. Death can't keep you. The fish couldn't keep Jonah because Jonah had too much life in him. Death can't keep you when you're full of life. You cannot stay in a raggedy place but for so long. Because sooner or later, you're going to recognize the power and the authority. The devil don't want me to preach this because he wants people to stay in this horrible state. Woe is me, this, that, and the other. My mother did this. My father did this. But I'm trying to talk to 100 people that'll go home, look in the mirror and say, I'm the problem. It's time to rock and roll now. I got it now. I'm the problem. I'm going to get my mind right. I'm going to get my money right. I'm going to get my issues right. I'm going to get some people out my life. The fact of the matter, everybody in here could throw a bunch of people off their boat. Can I get an amen to that? And it ain't your spouse. It ain't your spouse. Got to clear that up. Jonah 3, we're about wrapping home here. Jonah 3, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. There it is right there. Wait a minute. So we had to go through all of that for the Lord to come back once again. We had to go through the sea. We had to go through the fish. We had to get swallowed almost. We had to be spit out. For the Lord to come back, I'm trying to tell you sometime, church family, the Lord will take you what seems to be through hell on earth just to get his purpose accomplished. And it was as though when the Lord gets to Jonah 3, it was as though he said, okay, now you've learned your lesson. So now that you told me no the first time, how many of you know Jonah ain't going to say no the second time? I'm trying to tell you, I just said it a minute ago. He is not the God of a second chance. He is the God of a... How many of you are at least on your 42nd chance right now and you want to give God some glory? Is there anybody like me that will say, God, I thank you that you're the God of another chance. You're the God of a... Don't you sit back there and look all high as the ditty. You know what you did. You know where you've been. You know the stuff you've been into. Go to somebody and say, he's the God of another chance. Come on. Go to somebody. That means stand up. Go to somebody. Tell them, he's the God of another chance. I think you need you all to get this. He's a God. He's a God. He's a God of another chance. He's a God of another chance. It's what he does. It's what he does. How many of you are here that would say you were sick at one time? You might be sick now. You're sick. You've been sick. You've been sick before. Literally almost on your deathbed. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Just give me something prophetic. Just give me something prophetic. How many of you say that? Look at these lives that are standing up. Watch this. He didn't have to, Eric. He didn't have to. He didn't have to. But God has given you another chance. What you can't do, Mark, what you can't do is not tell nobody. You can't not tell somebody what you've been through. You can't not tell anybody, Melanie. That just happened in your life. Just this past March. You had a stroke. Couldn't walk. Couldn't talk. Come here. Look at God. 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 Listen, I'm trying to tell you, this is what you look like when the fish spits you out. Lean on the person next to you and tell them, take a look at me now. I'm not done. Talk to them again and tell them, I'm actually going to look better tomorrow. They don't understand. Let them know you actually seeing the worst of me right now. I'm actually going to look better tomorrow because he's the God of another chance. My best days are ahead of me. God has not forgotten about you. Your best days are ahead of you. Somebody give God some good praise in this place. My best days are ahead of me. My best days. God has not forgotten about you. I can feel it in my spirit. So many of you are feeling like God forgot about me. No, he didn't. The Bible says he knows the very hairs that are numbered on your head. There is not an English language word for him. That's why he told Moses, tell him I am. Who should I tell him? Just I am. It was as though he was telling Moses, listen, I don't even have time to explain everything that I am. Just tell him two words, I am. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. I'm the beginning, and I'm the end. It starts with me, and it ends with me. I created everything that breathes on this planet. I'm trying to speak life into you. Remember, Jonah understood clearly, yeah, he's the problem. But as long as you know the answer, you're going to be all right. Stand to your feet all over the building. Oh, Jesus. Just lift your hands. You're here in this church this morning and you're saying, you know what? That's the lockup. I'm the problem. I know I am. But I know I have a God. I have a Savior who's available for me today. And you may not know him. You may be standing there and you don't know the Lord. I may have preached a message that you've never heard about this Lord, this Savior. You just popped in today just to kind of check it out, be it a friend or family member. But you're just saying today, you know what? I just want to lay it all on the line. I'm going to surrender my will and my way today. I recognize where I am in my life, and I am not going to any longer walk under a spirit of conviction. I'm not going to walk under a spirit of condemnation. I'm not going to walk in this place where I just feel overwhelmed by guilt and by pressure because of some decisions that I've made in my life. We've all made bad decisions. All of us. But you're saying today I'm laying it on the line. I'm going to bring it before the Lord. As the word says, I'm going to come boldly to the throne of grace. And I'm going to lay every issue, every problem, every circumstance. And I'm going to be very, very courageous before the Lord. And I'm going to tell the Lord, I know I'm the problem. But today is my time to be released from the belly of the fish. If I'm talking to you this morning, I want you to come to this altar quickly. Come quickly. Just move. Say, excuse me. Just come to this altar. Come quickly. They're coming from all over. Come on, come quickly. You're saying, today is my day. Today. Yeah. You're saying, I'm laying it all on the line today. Every eye closed. Don't look around. Every eye closed. That's it. Every eye closed. Just say, excuse me. I'm ready to lay it all at the altar today. I'm ready to lay it all down. I'm not holding on to anything. I'm not carrying anything out of this place today. I know I'm carrying stuff that is bigger than me. So pardon me. I just want to tell God. I just want to reassure him that I trust him. I want to reassure him that I love him. I want to lay every circumstance, every situation, I want to lay it down before the Lord. So I don't want to carry anything. I want to be free of issues and pressures. You say, I'm also at a place right now, Lord, where I need you to help me. I need you to give me the strength because I'm going to need to rid myself of some people in my life. I'm going to need to rid myself. Lord, I need the strength. I need your help to do this. Come down to this altar right now. Lord, give me strength. I know I got to make some big decisions. Give me strength, Lord. Help me, Lord. That's it. Keep coming. Say, excuse me. Believe me. Hear me when I say, according to Jesus, you're the only one in the room. You're the only one. It's as though you're the only one. And that's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves you. How much he cares for you. You're the only one in the room. Yes, Lord.
Surrender.
The altar workers as well.
His presence daily.
If you know it, sing it. You know it, sing it. Today is that day. Your surrender will lead to your release. Hallelujah. Somebody thank the Lord for the healing and the restoration that has taken place. That's why we're here. Come on, really thank the Lord. We are here for healing and restoration, replenishment. Folk are just literally being healed and restored. Renewed. I thank the Lord on high for that. It's your time. And it's your season. And I do declare that as you have spent your time in solitude in the belly of the fish, that it is now your time to blossom. Come on now. It's your time to blossom. Yeah. Jesus as your main focus. I wrote a quote down earlier today, and I want to give this to you. It says, your message is in your mess. message. It is. The message that you give of the saving grace, authority, and power of Jesus, it is actually in your mess. You just shared with me that somebody, what was that? I want to share that with the church. Somebody. Yeah. And today, a girl had jumped into, she was sharing with me, and because she believes in the power of Jesus, and she believes that even what was happening today helped to heal. This woman had jumped into it. She had severed her spine. She had literally severed her spine, and she got the phone call in the service today, saying that she had not severed it. What they thought had been done actually was not done. How about that? She's just giving God all the glory and all the praise. Amen. Amen. God is faithful. God is faithful, church. He is so, so faithful. Praise be unto God. Did you get something good today? Amen. So believe me, when you're going throughout your week, it's not a negative thing to say, I'm the problem. I'm the problem. It's not you. It's me. But I'm the problem, and I know who the answer is. Amen. Amen. Listen, we got some gifts and such for you, especially those that are here for the very first time, so you can probably get that on your way out. I'm going to make my way out along with my wife here in just a moment. Just want to release some love on each of you today. If you're at the altar and you are still receiving ministry, stay right where you are. All right? Stay right where you are. The altar workers will be there for you because we don't want to miss these moments. We want to capture the moments of restoration and replenish that are happening today. Again, thank you so much for coming out. Oh, I didn't make mention. I should have earlier. Wednesday. Y'all looking for Wednesday night service? Wednesday at our 114 East location. First Wednesday fire. Don't miss it. I will be teaching this Wednesday, 7 o'clock. This Wednesday, 7 o'clock. First Wednesday fire. All right. Listen, lift your hands. Did I forget anything, honey? No, no. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands all over the building. What a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. Listen, we bless you. Now, we're actually going to speak the blessing. I'm sorry, I should say this all the time because we always have folk that are here for the very first time. Not praying for you, okay? So when I pray for you, like, you don't usually close your eyes and stuff. Nope, I'm not praying for you. I'm speaking the blessing. Amen? So I'm speaking a blessing that I believe will keep you. So when I speak this blessing, just receive it just as you are right now. I bless you. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you coming and we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to. Here's the key. That is God intended for your purpose. We bless this season in your life. We believe truly that you're in your best season. Somebody say it's my best season. Listen, we bless your jobs. We bless your homes. We bless your families. We bless your health. May you walk in health and well-being. And even as we have entered the last quarter of 2017, I need somebody to claim these last 90 days are going to be the best 90 days of 2017 for my life. Anybody claiming that right now? Listen, we bless your homes, your jobs, your finances. You've got one life to live. Live the very best that you can. Be excited, energetic, full of life. So much so that you do what? Love on somebody before you leave here. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful Sunday afternoon.